most abuse, abuse to women, abuse to children, abuse to domestic workers, actually happen by men. They're supposed to lead in love, all right? Now, I've been married almost 4 years, and I think it's going to take me longer to figure out how to lead in love. I'll be honest with you. You never get it. You almost think, okay, now I got it. I have to take her out. I have to be nice. You know, once in a while, do dishes, blah, 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 blah. And then after some time, you realize you have to do more, and you're thinking, what? What more can I do? You know, you always keep learning how to love your wife. You never have a complete, you know, set of a formula that now, okay, now have the formula and this is the formula that will work. It changes every day. But it's our responsibility. In fact, in 2 Peter 3:7, we have to live with them in understanding. We have to know the women. Know them, what affects them, their emotional weaknesses and strengths and all these other things. And you married men know that you're still learning. I hope you don't stop learning, because the moment you stop learning is when you'll show up in my office. At least one of you, either the man or the guy, or the woman. I don't know, my husband or my wife is this, Pastor Help. Dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as a weaker vessel and as being coheirs. So she's weaker, but you're all equal. Together, the Bible says, of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. If you're married in this room and your prayers are being hindered, you may have to check how you treat your wife at home. If you're a married man and nothing is working out, you're praying, nothing is working out, let's check how you treat your wife. God may be like, I'm not listening to you at all because you're not treating your wife well. We're supposed to lead in provision. Of course, as laborers, as those who are called to work, we're supposed to lead in providing for our family. Now, that's a very wide topic. You know, I know some friends of mine who have very, very rich women. They make a lot of money, right? I have a friend of mine who has a wife who works in parliament. And this guy has had to... She's not a parliamentarian. She works, I think, in the archives. And, you know, the job comes with a lot of benefits, with medical care and transport allowance and all these other things. So this guy has to stay home. They have two kids. This guy has to be the stay-home dad. So there are exemptions whereby, you know what, the situation allows the man to stay home and the wife to work, but that is an exemption. All right? That is an exemption. It's like 1%, whereby the situation, I mean, they know how to manage it. I cannot, you know, creep into their life and like, you woman, resign, man, go find a job. You know, they work out that, you know, he stays home, takes care of the kids, you know, picks the kids and drops them and picks her up and all. And I'm like, okay, you know, God bless you guys, kind of a thing. But that is no excuse for laziness, all right? One man said, a man must be ready to lead his wife and children in a way that will honor God, demonstrate godliness, inculcate Christian character, and lead his family's desire in Christ and seek God's glory. We are supposed to be the image of God in the home. When our kids see us, they should be seeing Jesus. And when they grow up, they have known the Jesus that we believe in through us. Because we are the first imprint in their minds and character. Men are supposed to lead in ministry. In Exodus chapter 18, verse 25, you know, Moses' dad-in-law tells him that, you know what, Moses, you're doing too much and you won't be able to finish everything. What you need to do is get help. So Moses chose able men out of Israel, Exodus 18:25, and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties and rulers of tens. All right, think with me. From the Israelites crossing into the promised land, who were the judges? Women or men? Except for one. When all the men were so wicked, God chose a woman, Deborah. All right, from the end of that season of judges came the kings. Who were the kings? Do you read of any queen in Israel? No, they're all men, all the kings. Okay, then the priesthood was established. Who were the priests? The pastors in the temple. Men. The prophets, were they women? Men. The apostles, were they women? Men. In Acts 6, we looked at this last week, last Sunday. When the congregation was looking for people to take care of the widows, who do they look to? Who do they find? Men. And wherever you see that pattern change, you know that the men are sleeping. They're not coming out to be the men. I've been in Rwanda many times, and recently I was there, and this is what is said of Rwandese men. No offense intended if you're from Rwanda. That Rwandese men want the women to go for them and marry them. Can you imagine? The men are waiting for the women to take them out. So this friend of mine who actually left Rwanda, and she had to take out a man, a doctor, hoping that the doctor is going to pay the bill. She paid the bill. Whenever you see the pattern change, right? Whenever you see women more dominant in society, what has happened to the men? They've slept off. I mean, look at what this Jennifer Musisi lady is doing to Kampala. There have been men there since independence. Men. They failed to execute their responsibilities. Men have been there. We've had one after the other, I think four. All of them have failed. And they put in a woman, and everybody's like, whoa. I mean, of course, she has her excesses as a woman. But look at what is happening in the city. Bit by bit, everything is coming in order, right? It takes some force, of course, you know. But it's a woman. Shame on us, men. All the men have been there just corrupt and corrupt. And corrupt and selfish and greedy and just minding about politics and their position. The woman comes in, she doesn't care about her position, she cares about her job. And she does it. And whenever you see women excel more than men, you know that the men, and I'm not saying women are less, we're all equal in Christ, we can have the same intelligence, the same physical abilities. But whenever you see women dominate in society, in leadership, you know that we men are doing what? Dozing off. The judges were men, kings, priests, apostles, the waiters in Acts 6, men. Guys, we are called to lead, right? That's why we don't have women pastors here, and we will not. It's a masculine call, right? I'm told the Catholic Church is now going to be ordaining, women priests, and that's for them, right? They can do that. We will not. It's a call of manhood. When we're looking for leaders in this church, we are looking to you men. You guys. How would it be if it was a woman doing men's fellowship? Who would attend? Some of us would attend, right? So women have to step up to lead, all right? I was in children's ministry for years, I think 5 years. And I'm going to say this to your shame. There are more women teaching our kids in Sunday school than men. There are more girls down there laboring with our babies, our children. What are we doing up here? Just talking about soccer and what happened over the weekend. Yet our little ones who need men figures in their lives are being taught by girls. And that's a challenge for you, right? In fact, there were so many women in Sunday school around my time that I married one. I want you guys to take the responsibility and the charge of manhood seriously within this building, within this church. I want to see more men teach Sunday school. I want to see more men usher. I want to see more men cleaning. I want to see more men involved in the physical aspects of this church. And I'm looking nowhere else but to you. Nowhere else. You. And if you fail, you know you've really failed miserably. Seriously. Know that you'll be in Christ, but you failed in your manhood. Thirdly, men are called to war. Finally, in Exodus 17:9, Moses and Joshua had a battle. They had to fight to gain that land, Israel. Moses said to Joshua, choose some, finish, find the word. What is the missing word? Choose some men. Said, choose some men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I'll stand on top of the hill with a rod of God in my hand. Men are called to war. Nowhere in Scripture are women allowed in the battlefront. Nowhere. Not even in Revelation, in the final war. We are supposed to war, right? This is what I use for war in my home. This is what I used to, I brought it just to show you. This is what I use. If somebody's going to break into my house today, they'll have to take this fast, right? They'll have to grab this fast. We guys are called to war. First of all, it's a spiritual war. Remember the first work was spiritual walk? So the first charge is actually a spiritual one. That's why Paul, by the end of today, wants more men from this room to be part of the prayer service. Jesus said in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, when he was about to speak a parable to his listeners, he said that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Who? Men. In Ephesians 6:11, Paul would write that, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. When Jesus died, where were his apostles, his disciples? Scattered, right? When he rose from the dead, where were they? Still in hiding. Guess who went to check the tomb? Women. And they became the first messengers of the resurrection message. The men, oh, that's too dangerous. We can't go there. The Romans may kill us. The women, innocently, let's go and anoint Jesus' body. Put on the whole armor of God, men. I want to see men involved in this church, physically and spiritually. Prayer. Kenny needs more men to sing on that choir. If you realize the sound is almost, all the sound is soprano tenor up, and that comes from girls. Where is the bass? Isn't Kenny looking for some male voices up there? And where are they? Right here. Right here. We're all here. Can give it a shot. Give it a try. At least we will have tried. So my charge to you men, be involved. Find ways of getting involved physically and spiritually in this church. And it will be upright. The moment you fail, you see women becoming pastors, I won't be around. I'll have to resign and go home. Let's stand. That is our place. That's our place. Physically, Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 7 said, be strong. This is Moses' final. If there was one thing that Moses wanted to tell Joshua, was that he would be strong and of good courage. He says, be strong and of good courage. You must go with the people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. The land was there, right? God's promise was there. It's right there. You could see it across the Jordan. Moses was like, you know, I lost the chance. I've just seen it. I'm not going to step there. Now, you guys who are going to step there, you have to be strong and of good courage. Physically, spiritually, emotionally strong. Courageous. Now, I don't think he's talking about Dutch courage. You know what Dutch courage is? Is that courage you have when you're drunk? If you used to drink like me, one time I drank so bad, that's about 13 years ago before I got saved. I got so drunk. This was, I think, at Kisementi. I lived in Aguru. Now, between Kisementi and Guru, this was like 1 o'clock. Lugogo Pai Pass was then very dark. It wasn't lit. It was actually one of the most dangerous spots around there. Even cars would be robbed, because I think it still happens today. Until I walked through Kisementi, crossed Lugogo Bypass, crossed the valley, if you've been there, almost the rugby club, and walked home. When I woke up the next day, I could not remember how I got home, first of all. But you know what got me home? It's called Dutch courage. Like, you just carelessly go. Like, you don't know what's ahead, you don't know anything, you just go. Moses is not about, I'm talking about is that drunk courage. He's talking about physically and emotionally being sober, right? In your right mind, choosing to be courageous. Now, I'm told it still happens, you know, in the military, make them courageous, you know, they get some, you know, tabs and pills so that, you know, that, you know, they lose their mind and now they're ready for, like, this person becomes red-eyed and, you know, high on some kind of a drug. This is being very sober, right? In your right mind, choosing to be courageous, choosing to be strong. In Joshua 1:7, God finally would tell Joshua, only be strong and courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded. Now, it took courage for them to physically possess the land. Look at what God tells Joshua. It takes courage for you to obey God. Can you imagine? Be strong and courageous so that you may obey God's commands. It takes courage to be humble, to be submissive to God, to be obedient to His commands. It takes courage to love. Love our wives. It says, do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This is what I use to build my strength. It's a very simple workout kit. Right? Very simple. I can use it for my chest. I can use it for my triceps, this muscle. I can use it for my bicep. I forget. I have to twist it. I can use it for my bicep. I can use it for my back and so many things. It's a simple kit. I think I bought it for 5,000 shillings. If you've given me a handshake, you know I have a very firm handshake. It's what I use. Now, I need to be strong because I have boys. I have two boys. So when they're of age and they want to fight me, they're like, no, we won't fight this guy. We'll wait until he's 75. We have to, and I skip. I don't have time to jog because my wife wants me home early, and when I'm home, I have to stay home. I can't go anywhere else. I used to jog a lot. I used to play volleyball a lot, and I can't. So I bought myself a skipping rope. For 30 minutes, it's as good as a 5-mile jog. Physical strength. Tell you what, if you're single and probably having a difficult time finding a girl, girls want strong men. Amen? Girls are looking for guys who are going to protect them. A guy who's going to stand courageous and like, okay, you thief, you come. I have a baseball bat. The military, right? Physical war. Spiritual war is a place for men. The apostles, pastors, judges, kings, prophets. We are men. That's our place. The military and all sorts of national security should be men. There are women now because, you know, equal rights, what, all these silly things, but it's a place. A man must be ready, as Christian author writes, a man must be ready to put his physical strength on the line to protect his wife, children, and fulfill his God-assigned tasks. A boy, we parents must raise our boys, this man says, a boy must be taught to channel his developing strength and emerging size into a self-consciousness of responsibility, recognizing that adult strength is to be combined with adult responsibility and true maturity. We have to stand spiritually strong, we have to stand physically strong, and raise our men, right? I am the man that I am today because there is a good dose of manhood that my dad gave me. Some of it was, of course, excess. But it gave me a good dose of manhood. And we parents, you will marry and raise boys, you have to give them manhood. Amen? Let's pray. Thank you, God, for calling us to work, Lord, calling us to lead. and calling us to fight, Lord, we ask for your strength and wisdom as we spiritually fight and as we physically fight, Lord, to protect our family, protect this church, protect our state. Lord, we ask for your wisdom to be spiritual and physical leaders, Lord. Lord, we ask for your presence that we may walk with you as we carry on our responsibilities. So, Lord, help us men to stand in the call that you've given us, Lord, from your word, to work, to lead, and to war. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.